May it please the court.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. I previously introduced myself to you. My name is Anthony Gosserand. I represent the appellant in this case, Miss Diana School of Dance Incorporated. The Administrative Hearing Commission erred in determining that the monthly fees Miss Diana's collected from students for costumes, dance lessons, and miscellaneous income were taxable under Section 144.020.1, subsection 2, which imposes a sales tax on all fees paid to her in a place of amusement, entertainment, or recreation, because this was not supported by the law or by substantial and competent evidence. The AHC's decision that Miss Diana's was a place of recreation and was liable for sales tax was an error of law, and it wasn't supported by substantial and competent evidence, and we're asking that this decision be reversed with the finding that Miss Diana's does not fall within the statute. We've heard other cases this morning about things that I didn't know anything about. I think everybody in this chamber now has some feeling when they hear the word dance. All of us have some tie to it. I would respectfully suggest that dance is a part of every culture in the world and has different importances for different people. I would respectfully suggest that dance is an overarching term that can take into account many types of endeavors, engagements, of physical activity. I would suggest there's a spectrum. You have pure dance, dance for joy. You hear good news. You're simply dancing out of pure joy. You can move to dance being in a social function. Leastways, when I was growing up and I was the age of some of our spectators here today, it was how we met the people we wanted to socialize with, how we met our boyfriends and girlfriends. I'm not sure if it's the case anymore. Dance can go from there to fitness, where people engage in the activity for the purpose of keeping themselves fit for their body. I would suggest then the spectrum moves to competition and sport, where we see that there is even dancing events in our Olympic Games. There's dance in college activities, sports, colleges against one another. And then I'll tell you, I believe the spectrum moves to dance as one of our highest recognized forms of art. We all know about ballet. We know that that is akin to going to a museum, seeing a painting, seeing opera. So dance along that spectrum. I would respect this.
Now, how old were these dancers?
These dancers, they were children. They went from children from a very young age all the way up into their teenage years.
Now, did any of them go on to American Ballet Theater or go on to the do professional dancing?
Yes, Your Honor. And as stated in the evidence that was introduced to the AHC, my client, Miss Diana's School of Dance, had some students that would progress beyond her school to other endeavors. The record before the AHC indicated there was even a special competition segment or class within my client's school that prepared the students for higher levels of engagement of a particular type of dance type. I would respectfully suggest to the members of the court that the de minimis test, as announced in this case and Michael Jaudis, which brought back the ruling in Spoutage, in my description of that spectrum, I would respectfully suggest to the court that the minimalness of amusement, entertainment, and recreation goes down as you go across that spectrum.
What percentage would have gone on to becoming professional dancers at Martha Graham or all these other things? What percentage versus people who, as you stated, just enjoy dancing, enjoy seeing their relatives dance and having a good time?
Your Honor, I can't provide that to you. I didn't provide that evidence in front of the AHC.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, I think your point, though, in your brief was that you don't have to go on to be a professional dancer to be taking instruction, that it's just like when you go to college, you may not become a professor, but you're still taking instruction. You're not going for entertainment.
Exactly. And although I had some amusement and recreation when I was at law school, I assure you it was de minimis. And I agree with Your Honor that when you go on further, it's the life skill that's being taught, and it's not teaching you. There's no evidence that these people were being taught better how to dance socially. They were being taught and how to dance in a particular way in an art form. What's in a name? I'll defer against.
Now, how do you distinguish that from the trainer that's at the gym?
Excuse me, Your Honor.
How do you distinguish from the case with the professional trainer at the gym who's the same kind of issue about entertainment or something else?
This court has clearly found that activities at gyms are amusement recreational. And you found that in Michael Jaudis, which overruled some existing cases, brought back the de minimis test from Spoutage. The difference here, Your Honor, is in the gym context, when the instructor's showing someone how to exercise in a particular way, they're only adding to that person's personal enjoyment, the recreation of doing the physical exercise that this court has found to be more than a de minimis element in a gym situation. Here, Your Honor, Ms. Path and the two other instructors at Miss Diana are actually teaching the students how to do something a certain way that's an art form. It's a ballet class, it's a jazz class. Our students have to wear a particular type of uniform. They just can't go in and wear whatever they like. The purpose for that is that the instructors are watching the participants in the class, how they're moving their bodies, how they're moving their muscles. They're wearing a particular type of uniform.
Is it important? I noticed in your brief you also distinguish it in that in the gym cases, you don't simply go in for the personal training instruction and leave. You get that you join the gym. You have a right to use the gym individually and apply the knowledge. And here you come in for the class and you leave. You're not buying a subscription to a studio where you can go dance on your own. Is that an essential distinction between the two?
Perhaps even a better one than I've made based upon the other justice's question. I think that is an essential distinction. The record before the AHC clearly indicated that students had no right to come in and unilaterally use any of the facilities of Miss Diana's School of Dance. They would pay tuition fees monthly, and they would be able to participate in a particular class. It wasn't free reign. They just couldn't come in and say, for example, at the gymnasium that me and my wife are members of, my wife participates in a Zumba class, a physical exercise class. She can show up if she wants to. She doesn't have to if she does not want to. Pay a monthly fee, but that's like Michael Jaudis. That's not the case here with the evidence that was in front of the record that was in front of the Administrative Hearing Commission. The evidence in front of the Administrative Hearing Commission is this is a school. As I was going to say, I deferred with Shakespeare here, and what is a name? And I won't go on longer with the quote. But in this case, a name, I believe, means almost everything.
Counsel, you say in your brief that there was some reliance upon a 2008 letter ruling from the Department of Revenue that indicated dance instruction was not taxable. But you also acknowledge that those letter rulings are only applicable to the applicant who requested them. So is there any justifiable reliance for you now on that letter ruling, or what's your position on that letter ruling?
Your Honor, our position on that letter ruling is, and as stated in our brief and we acknowledge, we understand that you can't hold a letter ruling up as law. The law is what this court decides eventually in Missouri with regard to Missouri revenue statutes. We cited that in a brief to support our argument that there is an issue of fairness here. And I'm sure you're aware from reading the brief, we also cite to the legislation that's been recently passed by the Missouri legislature. I would argue to the court is we cannot put that revenue ruling out and say that's the end all be all, because it's not. I would suggest that even without that revenue ruling, on the record that was introduced to the AHC, the Administrative Hearing Commission in this case, even without that ruling, any recreation, amusement, or entertainment at my client's place of business was de minimis.
Well, I thought the ruling was to show the change of policies. So that's why you thought the statute was right or might not be retroactive.
Right. On the statute, you're absolutely correct, Your Honor. The legislature did not indicate that the statute was retroactive. However, we wanted to cite it in our brief to point out a fairness issue here, because the client operated for years not believing that what was going on in the operation constitute a taxable operation. And then my client was selected, of all the dance schools in Missouri, for a determination that it was a place under 144020.1 subsection 2 and subject to sales taxation. I would respectfully suggest to the court that this case isn't just about dance schools. It's not just about the types of operations of dance schools in the state of Missouri. I would respectfully suggest to the court that under the facts presented here and the record that was before the Administrative Hearing Commission, that this case poses real danger to the de minimis standard. If you agree with the Administrative Hearing Commission that amusement, entertainment, and recreation was more than a de minimis part of the operation of my client's business, I believe that's almost saying that you can't have no amusement, entertainment, or recreation. Tell the students you can't have fun at any way, shape, or form. You're here to learn how to dance, and that's it. And I acknowledge that the evidence before the Administrative Hearing Commission, and as cited in the brief of the respondent, that we did send out pamphlets, flyers, etc., that would indicate that there was some recreation that would go on with the class, but it was not anything more than a de minimis indication that that would occur.
Is this case, again, you talk about education and say, you know, you may have some fun or enjoyment in taking a class, and that applies to you. But there's a big difference between a school that is just a school and this dance class, and how much it is for what where it falls on the line between recreation and entertainment versus education. Is that not a question of fact based on the facts of this case rather than a question of law?
Your Honor, I see that I'm out of time. May I respond to your question?
Absolutely.
I don't believe in this circumstance that it is a question of fact. I believe it is a question of law because it's the interpretation of the statute and the application of it to what was going on in my client's operation. So it's not really, I understand what you're asking me is, should you defer to the finding of fact that was made by the Administrative Hearing Commission? I would respectfully suggest that what we're arguing about is that was a mistake of the law. We believe that the Administrative Hearing Commission inappropriately applied Michael Jaudis to the facts of this case.
What percentage makes something de minimis?
What percentage, Your Honor? And you're asking for my personal opinion. I'm not aware of any.
Well, I mean, if de minimis isn't defined, we just took a short break, right? I was wondering what that would mean. De minimis, I know means a small percentage.
Right.
But when the finding was made that it was de minimis, I mean, that's what I'm trying to get around. What are you suggesting in the sense of percentage of de minimis activity can occur that affects whether or not the tax is owed?
Your Honor, maybe 5 or 10%, but I would also argue to the court that de minimis is exactly what the record in our case indicated.
Is everything here a class? Everything that the school does? Chief Justice Breckinridge's question said this is different than a case where all you do is instruct, where it's just a school. But isn't that all this is? It's just a school? Does the Mr. Anna's School of Dance do anything other than teach dance classes?
No, Your Honor. That's it. That's the operation as the record indicated. Students pay a monthly fee. They receive dance instruction.
And there's also opportunities for moms and dads and relatives to take pictures of their dance phenom dancing. I mean, there's all that kind of stuff that's part of getting people into dance space, is it not?
Yes, Your Honor.
No one ever took pictures of me doing an algebra test. I mean, they wouldn't find much interest in that. But dancing and seeing your little child doing this stuff is something that's very appealing to parents and grandparents.
And I agree. Just like they're now that they have graduations from kindergarten, fifth grade, and eighth grade, grandparents and parents are there to take pictures of that as well. I personally participated in that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
We'll hear from you on rebuttal.
Now, I know you have very little time, but doesn't this case have wide, America is great. We have bridge players, we have chess players, we have all kinds. I play the clarinet in third grade. No one would confuse that with the music. Yeah. But people do this all the time, and this could have wide implications to what Americans do every day. And chess, for example, in St. Louis is a really big deal. I mean, and they have 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds. Probably none of them are going to become Bobby Fischer, but they're all playing and all doing it, and they're studying it, and there's a lot of study in it. This has wide implications, doesn't it?
Not necessarily. If we look at, and getting back to the de minimis test that has been mentioned, a taxpayer must be a place of amusement, entertainment, or recreation. So while a place might have a recreational aspect to it, for instance, like a pinball machine in a hotel lobby, for example, I think that was L&R Distributing from years ago, what the court did with a de minimis test was what percentage of the income derived from that location is due to the recreational activity. If it's more than de minimis, then it's going to be considered a place of recreation. Here, the de minimis test does not apply to what percentage of the activity is recreational versus educational or something else. So here, when vast majority of the income from Miss Diana's was from dance class fees, that's way more than de minimis, and
And why is that taxable, though? Why isn't that instruction? Well, is there anything that says it has to be a degree program to be qualified for the credit?
Well, then we look, after we determine what percentage of the income, then we look at the activity, dancing. Dancing is, I don't think anyone would argue, is a recreational activity.
It's not a recreational, I mean, but...
Is, or did I say is not? Is a recreational activity.
But there's lots of things you do. You go to college, you may major in physical education. You're doing things, but you're taking classes in something that's going to be your life skill. It's something that you're earning money for, or something that you're trying to take classes and learn from. The fact that other people do it for recreation doesn't mean you're not getting a degree in that or taking instruction in that. The fact that I dance for fun is very different than if I took a dance class. I really don't understand your distinction that because you can do the activity for fun on your own, this is not me, but some of my kids loved math and they would do math for fun. You know, not what I would call recreation, but they were at school and in the math counts things, which I took pictures of, and based on their math class, it was still instruction and it was not entertainment.
And normally, if you look what the court has done in the past is within normal contemplation, a school or a university where you take classes to earn a degree, within normal contemplation, we do not consider universities or schools to be places of recreation.
So what if I took French classes? Does that qualify for the credit?
And I think what happens when we get too far away from the physical aspect of this, if we want to look at this compared to Fitness Edge, Fitness Edge made all of these same arguments. There was not a membership fee. You didn't join Fitness Edge. What you did was you made an appointment with a personal trainer. You paid by the hour, and you went to their facility and used their equipment under the direct supervision, tutelage of that personal trainer who taught you how to exercise properly. Now, when we see these arguments in Fitness Edge, we saw it in Columbia Athletic and and Wilson's, well, exercising isn't fun, I'm doing this for my health. And a lot of people have that notion of it.
So what about an art school?
Well, again, we'd have to almost have to have a record of what is that art school
what
about versus...
What if they're all classes? What if they're all... because I don't see you contesting they're all classes. And so I'm just wondering, this does have real implications. Anything that's in the social sphere that's not a hard science, that's not a math, anything that's physical or artistic, music, because we can all do that for fun, you're saying,
right.
Therefore it's not a class. And I hope you're not saying that, but I'm not understanding what line you are drawing, if you could help me understand it.
Well, the line that's being drawn is, how is this different from Fitness Edge?
How is this different from a music class or an art class, if we agree with you here? Are you saying anything that people also do for fun, therefore can't qualify for the tax exception?
The big difference, and why this case falls in with Fitness Edge as to some other case that hasn't been decided yet, is the physical aspect of what was going on here. Rather than calling this exercise classes, they were having dance classes, and merely because, and it was beyond dance classes, they had competitions. You had to compete to get into the higher level classes, and moreover, they had competitions that Miss Diana's took their students or their dancers to compete across the country.
So why isn't that then educational versus entertainment? I mean, if they're competing and they're achieving and they're moving forward, and some of them become professional dancers and whatever, or some of them could be dancing at high schools or something. Why isn't that then not education versus entertainment? I mean, if they're doing competitions versus you're going out there, you're dancing and your grandparents take pictures.
And it can be both. There's plenty of cases
so how
where...
Getting back to Judge Fisher's question, how do you define de minimis then, if we're going to make this a rule?
Well, and as I mentioned before, you can have the de minimis applies to what's the facility, what's the location, can we consider it a place of recreation? Usually the de minimis test, there isn't an argument about is the activity recreational, entertaining. It's as a whole is the location.
Is there a difference between Fitness Edge and the center that trains young people for the Olympics? Let's say parents send their young children to maybe Colorado or someplace to train at a facility that teaches them or is giving them a skill to compete in the Olympics. Is that entertainment? Is that a facility of entertainment, or is that a school?
Well, and I would guess you would need to know how much of the aspect of that, assuming that it's not exempted. For example, if this was being done by a school district, it would be exempt from tax under the law. But assuming that there's no exemption that would apply to that, I guess best way I could say this, if this was purely a school, if the students were sitting in a classroom and being taught dance moves on a chalkboard or on an overhead projector.
So all hands-on totally, education is taxable?
Well, that would be a totally different situation than what we have going on here, which is these folks, and the way this facility was marketed as being fun,
it's clear, you don't think the fact that something's enjoyable, it can't also be a skill.
Sure, and something that is enjoyable can also be educational. And that's the there's several cases about that where you have and Fitness Edge was made an argument like
but
that.
But if I go to shop class, I'm learning to do shop, but maybe I really like working with my hands and I have a great time, but I'm learning a skill. Is the test really if you have a good time in class?
And what we're talking about here, Your Honor, is a place of recreation. Right. And
so
when
what
we get
so what, you're saying this is more like if Top Golf had an instructor where they were trying to train people to really be professional golfers. And over here they got the shoes where they've got people who are like me just trying to score, try to hit it in the deal. It's a place of amusement. It doesn't matter that there's some educational or artistic or schooling
which
component.
Which takes me back to my question is whether or not it is a place of recreation or a place of education. And where it falls on that line, whether it's a school like college is a question of fact as to if I took dance classes as a child, which I did it for fun. There was no expectation that I was going to do anything with it. There may have been people in the same class that had aspirations or were taking it for another reason. Whether the school as a whole is recreation or education depends on all those factors, doesn't it?
And it does. And what Your Honor just pointed out is what happened in Columbia Athletic Club. Some of the folks, and the evidence in that case was, we're going there for our health, we're not going there to have fun, and that spawned this primary purpose test. Well, what's the primary purpose behind going to the gym? And the court tried to apply it in Kanakuk, and there was another case where they said, hey, we're showing these kids how to play these sports. It's instructional. And the court rejected that in the sense of, well, it can be both. And a summer camp, even where all these things are going on, can be recreational as well and taxable at the same time as being educational. So when the court tried to apply that
summer camp that you go to, I mean, does it matter what the play, you said an educational institution versus a private organization to dance, Diana's dance studio. What about if I took philosophy in college? That has absolutely zero economic benefit, but yeah, maybe I enjoyed it. But if I enjoyed it, maybe then it's not taxable. I mean, I don't know what the, or there's a master's degree at the University of Missouri called positive coaching. I mean, I guess that's a discipline of great note, but it's a, I don't know, I guess if you're an athlete, it's an important thing to do, but there are all kinds of things. If you change the place, in college, there's a lot of things people take, and they're not necessarily going to instruct them for another economic reasons or anything else. I mean, courses like philosophy, courses like art.
And
art
that's
what does art history give you?
And that's why the cases talk about within normal contemplation, how do we view this facility? We don't look at what each individual's purpose or primary purpose is. And the court tried to apply that test in Columbia Athletic, tried it again in Kanakuk, and it just didn't work. And what you look at is within normal contemplation.
Well, is there a difference between a place in St. Louis called COCA, where they offer dance, but they also offer several other activities, several other classes, one of them being dance, as opposed to this school, which only offers dance? So does that make the school possibly a school and not a place of recreation? But COCA would be a place of recreation because it offers several different classes, some math, some dancing, some carpentry, some whatever.
Well, and that's what makes it's difficult to answer a question like that. I don't necessarily think so, but when you're talking about something like that, you know, the record really makes a difference. And this record, there was concessions that this was recreation, that the kids were getting exercise, even the adults. It was not just kids, it was adults taking ballroom dancing classes. And when you compare this case to Fitness Edge and trying to argue the distinction that, well, this is more educational than it is recreational, again, the same thing happened in Fitness Edge, and I would imagine that dancing is a lot more fun than exercising.
Was anybody in Fitness Edge training to make money at physical fitness? Train to make any money at physical fitness? In other words, like training to enter a competition where they were going to actually get paid?
No, Your Honor. That was just people like you and me going and getting exercise. Instead of going to a gym where we just do it ourselves, in Fitness Edge, there was a trainer. You had to have an appointment. And while you get to use the equipment, it was under the direction and supervision, the teacher was the personal trainer. In this case, the teacher are the people that are running the classes at Miss Diana's. And as far as recreation, this record in this case shows what was going on here was every bit as recreational as what
So nobody that was going to go to Miss Diana's school was ever going to get paid for dancing.
Well, it's possible. I think there was some evidence that some of the students might have went on to a professional career, but there was no evidence of how many, and it really sounded like that it was very few and far between. I went to baseball camp thinking, in back of my mind, am I going to play baseball? And then here I am, you know, standing here today. And perhaps maybe that's what the kids that took these classes, maybe in the back of their minds they thought that, but then we don't look at that because we got away from that primary purpose. I mean, what's their purpose? What's the student's purpose? What's the parent's purpose? I'm sure the parent's purpose wasn't to send their kids to a dance class or a dance studio and have them coming home crying every night.
For example, Gold's Gym. At Gold's Gym, at boxing, and some people go on to become Michael Spinks and Leon Spinks. Some people just go to learn the sport of boxing. Is it based on the intent of the parents or the intent of the people going there, what their purpose is in going to the gym? I mean, Gold's Gym is maybe famous for producing professional boxers, but so many others are just amateur boxers.
No, the primary purpose test was overruled in Wilson's Total Fitness, and we do not look at what each individual participant's purpose is in attending. We just look within normal contemplation, what is this location? Is it a place of recreation? Is there a recreational activity?
So if it's a school of carpentry, and you go there and you learn carpentry, but they're not training people to go to the Carpenters Union, does that make it a place of recreation as opposed to a school?
It's a little different because, you know, recreation, the definitions that have been used involve some physical toil or refreshment after physical activity. So if we have to move to a place of entertainment, I suppose you could have a situation if you had a record where some place started, you know, the math studio, and they advertised it like this, how fun math is, and got people to pay fees to come and take fun math classes and have competitions. I suppose you could have a record and find that, well, that's a place of amusement or recreation on that particular record. But as we know, there's places like that just don't exist. Places like Miss Diana's do because people pay for this recreational activity.
Well, right now, children go to this math, what's it called, Suzuki or something like that, mm-hmm. right? And so if they started serving Kool-Aid or something in between, it would be a place of recreation.
And art and music, all the other things like that. This has wide application if we say those can't be places of instruction primarily.
And I think the record in those cases would be important to see just what they were. The record here
But what record? Because you're saying it doesn't matter what the people intended, it matters what you do. And if you're teaching classes and that's all you do, why isn't it, you're saying, what's the factual basis? What are you saying is the fact question?
Well, in this case, what is going on at Miss Diana's? Is dancing a recreational activity?
No, dance classes make it, giving dance classes that make it a place of recreation? That's the question.
All I can say, Your Honor, is that's what they said in Fitness Edge. We are not just allowing exercise. We are directing it. We are showing people, teaching them how to do it properly.
So maybe that was the edge of the law there, and that was the farthest case. You're saying we have to continue on past that.
And it might, that case might be here. I think Miss Diana's is within that. That this doesn't go past the boundary, that because what we're talking about is a recreational activity of dancing, which no one would dispute is, that it actually falls closer to the spectrum of what we would believe is taxable.
But many instructional activities are for recreation. Simply because you're learning something does not mean it's not for recreation.
Right, and that's the Foster case and Branson Scenic Railway and all these other cases.
But I'm concerned, it also includes entertainment if it was a place of entertainment. And you're basically saying anything that, wouldn't that also be an exception? Or what about the art school? You keep not answering that question, the art school and the music school. And I'm wondering if we accepted your analysis, what that would mean for such institutions.
Well, All the director is saying here is this is...
I know, but can you please answer my hypothetical? Like four times.
Well, it's difficult, Your Honor, because the physical aspect of what was going on here was so important.
I understand you don't think those are places of recreation, and that's a very good point. Does the statute also apply to places of entertainment?
Yes.
And so would those art and music schools then, under your argument, fall within places of entertainment because people may be entertained by the instruction that they're getting?
Your Honor, it's I can't speak for the director on this. I don't know where that versus this recreation, where we're talking about this very defined recreational situation.
I'm not trying to catch you. I'm just worried about the line, like you're saying, Fitness Edge brought us to a certain point. If this brings us to another point, then what about that case? We always look at where this is taking us if we accept an argument. So that's the reason for my question.
Well, in a place that just taught art, you start with within normal contemplation, would we consider that a place of entertainment? Now, a record could be developed if someone had a business model that they were promoting this as some fun activity and had competitions and things like Miss Diana's does. You couldn't conceivably have a situation where that might fall under. But that's really far away from what the director's position is in this case.
Well, getting back to the wide application, my first question, a friend of mine sends his daughter to Forest Park for tennis lessons, and he pays the tennis coach. This is not, you know, but there's no way this young woman, as hard as she plays tennis, is ever going to be Serena Williams. I mean, but he pays the tennis coach. All they do is tennis. It's not like a gym or anything. All she learns is tennis and plays other people who play tennis with the same tennis coach. Is that entertainment or is that education?
Well, I think
it's athletic also.
The first question you got to ask is, what's the place? If the place is just Forest Park and the coach comes over and they have, that person's not operating a place of recreation. Is tennis a recreational activity? Yes. If there was a facility that did that, charge fees for people to come in and play tennis and be instructed at the same time, yes, a place of recreation. I'm sorry for going over my time, Your Honor.
We appreciate you answering questions beyond your time.
May it please the court, very briefly, I disagree with counsel for the director of revenue. This is the slippery slope. This is after JAWS, and this is where it's going to go. And a couple of the cases that were referred to, I think, bear distinguishing. I never got this name right. The Kenokomomo Camps Incorporated. In that case, it was important that none of the materials that were issued by that camp for children mentioned instruction or lesson on any of its brochures, instructors' manuals, or promotional literature. Here, all of the evidence that was put in front of the Administrative Hearing Commission regarding the brochures and advertisements made by Miss Diana's always mentioned instruction. Always mentioned that there it was.
Well, it also said that you'll find a class that will make you happy. Not that will make you a professional dancer, not that will make you a professional dance instructor, not that will make you anything other than happy. So how is that not a diversion or an entertainment or an amusement?
It's a de minimis part of what was going
it's
on.
It's not a de minimis part of the place. It might be a de minimis part of the activity, and that's arguable, but it's certainly not a de minimis part of the place, and that's the question. Because that's all that was going on there.
Was Your Honor saying fun and entertainment, or I'm sorry, I'm not understanding the question.
The instructions, which in the advertisement were communicated to make you happy, and that instruction is all that was occurring at that place.
Some of the advertised classes, Your Honor, did indicate that, and that is in the record.
But the commissioner relied on that and the prior definitions that this court has used to find that it was an amusement, a diversion, which is the word that's common to all three, amusement, recreation, and whatever the third one is. And that might not be your choice, it might not be my choice, but why wasn't that supported by the record?
Your Honor, we believe that the AHC, the commissioner, erred in applying JADIS to Ms. Diana's because under our instance, unlike in JADIS, Diana's was a dance school providing dance lesson and instructions with professional curriculum that attracted children and adults that wished to pursue it. Under Fitness Edge, clients who had two or more appointments per trainer per week could come in and use the equipment. There was no evidence in front of the Administrative Hearing Commission that Ms. Diana's was an athletic club or a fitness center or a camp where a fee would be paid. In the classes that were provided by Ms. Diana's, an instructor was present. That type of dance was taught.
Can you answer it? People, some of the questions seem to suggest that unless the purpose of the classes was to become a professional, it must be a place of entertainment or recreation. Do the cases support that, or can you be an instructional program without the intent to give a person a professional license at the end of it?
Absolutely, Your Honor, as long as recreation is a de minimis part of what's going on there under the cases. And we've heard many examples, and I see I'm out of time. May I answer your question? There can be many examples where there's some instruction going on where the person is simply, it's self-betterment, with no target towards making money. I know in our materialistic society that if you're going to be taking an education, it's to make a buck. But no, it might be to better yourself by expressing yourself in an art form.
So I'm asking for an example. You've got Juilliard over here. You've got Miss Diana's here. What's way over here? What is just the amusement?
Some dance exercise class for kids.
At the YMCA.
At the YMCA, yeah. Show up, kids Zumba. You know, you got somebody up in front of the class that's doing the Zumba moves, but they're not watching the kids and making sure the kids are doing the Zumba moves absolutely like the instructor's doing it. That's what's out there.
Well, the difference is the Y does a lot of things in addition to that. So the fact that it has some instruction, it's still a place of recreation.
Yes.
Ken, so is it outside of your definition of taxable when someone does instruction for entertainment and recreation? So the art classes that I take clearly are 100% instruction, but I take them for entertainment.
And that's the test that's there. You're looking at the de minimis recreation. You're going to an art class and you're learning a skill, whether it be to be a sculptor or a painter. And yes, you're going to gain some recreation out of that, but all that was done away with, as counsel said in the Columbia case. You can't look at what the person's there for. What you have to look at is what it holds itself out to be and how it advertises.
And someone can hold themselves out to be an instructional facility, but that instruction is for entertainment.
I agree that might be possible, Your Honor, but I would disagree that it applies to the facts in this case when you had three instructors actually different types of classes, different types of dance being taught.
Thank you. Any other questions? Case will be submitted.
Thank you, Your Honors.